You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We've talked about economic and historical legacies in Greece, the legacies of giant companies like Amazon. Now, a story that's both intimate and about celebrity legacy on a grand scale. Amy is the new documentary about Amy Winehouse, the British singer-songwriter who died at the age of 27, like many musicians before her. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain. What's sometimes referred to as the 27 Club. Winehouse's struggles with addiction were well-publicized, but so was her incandescent talent. I asked the documentary's director, Asif Kapadia, to describe the legacy that he was trying to show.
I guess for me, making a film, it was all about getting underneath all of that sort of stuff about fame and people on a pedestal and, you know, pop stars or rock stars, and actually just taking Amy off the stage, take off the wig, take off the makeup, and just show the real girl underneath, the ordinary girl, the girl next door, the girl that could have kind of, I might have bumped into in a record store or bumped into on the subway in London. I like meeting the ordinary girl who worries about her spots and, you know, worries about what she looks like when she sees herself and realizing she's really funny and witty and just normal and a really cool kid who had a sense of humour, who just also happened to be a great singer, also happened to play the guitar and be able to write amazing songs that, you know, everyone loves. The danger of her becoming this kind of megastar, pop star, was that's the person that's easier to attack, which is what happened.
So is the idea of crystallizing a legacy then sort of anathema to what you were trying to do?
Yeah, because, you know, at the beginning, there were loads of people who talk about, you know, oh, that kind of number where rock stars die. And I was like, I'm not interested in that. I think that's stupid. And
you
I
know I'm going to ask you about
yeah,
it, though.
Yeah, I know, and it's stupid. And it's like we wouldn't celebrate it for, you know, I don't know, dentists all died at that age or radio presenters. And so the idea that people die young, it's not cool. I think it's silly and I think it's terrible. And so, again, I didn't want her to be part of that gang. I just wanted her to say, look, as a person on her own, is really special and cool and talented and beautiful. And that's the way I would love people to remember her, not as part of a gang of rock stars who all died stupidly young.
At the age of 27.
Yeah.
So there were two things that struck me that I really wasn't expecting, one of which was her handwriting. Is when you look at those lyrics that she was writing out in notebooks, and I think it's the sessions in Miami, they're like a little girl's handwriting, these very rounded bubble letters. And I was really jarred by that.
Why?
Maybe because it was underneath that veneer. And it just seemed so raw. And then the other thing that seems raw, and I'm curious about why...
It's a word that comes up a lot,
yeah.
Actually, raw. It's kind of what the aim of the film is, to take away the shiny, glossy, soft focus star, all the spotlights. And actually, the whole thing, right from the beginning, you hear her singing when she's just messing around for mates, picks up a guitar, it's raw. And that's why she's great. There's no BS, you know. It's actually, she really has it. Her voice is amazing at its rawest. And actually, yeah, that's the kind of the word that I would almost use. It's about love, essentially, this film, all forms of love. And it's all about showing everything at its most raw.
You know that people are going to ask you about the sort of complicated space between what she leaves behind and then what this documentary leaves behind. And I guess I'm curious, if the film has a legacy, what is that?
I hope the legacy is just about rebalancing the public's perception of her. You know, at the beginning when I was doing my research, I remember, you know, I'd hear about a particular article or an interview she gave, and I'd Google her name, and one horrible image after another would come up of Amy.
Yep.
That's how Amy was summed up. Her falling out of a club or a bar or punching someone or looking really messed up because of her addictive kind of issues. And what I'd love is, you know, when we Google now, you see a beautiful picture of her. You see a picture of her holding a guitar, or you see a picture of... So partly it was just the public perception.
Of course, but
so
the horrible
pictures
are a part of her life.
Yeah, but that's not everything. You know, that doesn't sum her up. That's her at a bad point in her life. And actually, for me, the most important part was the creative Amy, the younger Amy. For me, it's more interesting and more special. And if you don't know that existed, then you don't care about it. You know, right at the start, I mentioned to somebody in London I was going to do this film, and, you know, pretty intelligent person in the business, and said, you know, his answer was, why do you want to make a film about a junkie? And that was exactly the reason why I felt I had to make the film, because that's how she was being summed up by people. Those images did sum her up, because, you know, the word that comes up the most here in the US when I do interviews is train wreck. That's what everyone thought she was. She was a train wreck. I suppose the legacy was not just the film and her depiction and how people thought of her, but to have this type of debate that we're having now, for writers to start talking about her, because I don't remember this all happening when she died.
Your film also charts the moment where she gets a deal, she buys her first place. Suddenly there is a lot of money around someone who'd always lived with her family. How do you think that amount of material success changed her?
I think there's a couple of things. Amy, from everyone I've spoken to, really didn't have that much interest in money. She didn't have interest in the awards. She wasn't in it for that. She was interested in creating and experimenting and pushing and wanted to get into the studio. And she was more interested by which musicians am I going to get to work with. That was really her thing. That's what excited her. What's interesting is when you learn that this kid who's like 17, 18 years old gets £250,000 record deal, and is able to move out. I mean, she moved out, I think, at the age of 15 or something like that, really, really young with her friends. And she was, you know, suddenly she's rich. She's richer than her parents. She's got more money than anyone, you know, and who's going to say no? That's what starts happening. One of the big issues I've had during the film is just this idea of when you have these vast quantities of money, which the music business, I think, is dealing with artists who are younger than the film business, where I come from, and there's more money floating around than in the film business that I come from. And you're just thinking, well, who's in charge? Who's the person in place to say, do you know what? You're not well. I'm not going to let you perform. Whose job is that? Who's the person who will go in there? Because that goes back to your 27 Club thing. Why do so many musicians die young? Because they're given everything. And then who's around to say no? Because everyone who's there is on the team. So if they say no, they get fired. Where does the music business have any responsibility for the artist that it suddenly makes famous and rich? Does anyone take any responsibility in it? And it appears like there's no one in place. In films, on fiction films, when you're shooting a movie, you have an assistant director whose job is to make sure everything goes on time, on budget, and nobody gets hurt. And I don't think that type of person exists in the music business.
Do you blame the business for her death?
I don't know if I blame it, but I think, you know, they're the people with experience. You know, you could say that Amy was she's a kid going through this for the first time. So then it just makes me wonder, is there nobody else in the system? You know, this is a lot of money floating around, like we said. You know, when records sell 20, 30 million copies, then there's quite a lot of money. Every time it gets played on the radio, someone's making money. You know, they know how to get the money in. So the question is, how do they then use that to protect the talent? Because surely an artist who makes 15 albums is going to be better than someone who only made two.
Yeah. Asif Kapadia is the director of Amy. Thank you so much.
Great. Nice talking to you.